Jesus healed no one. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today on Bible stories. Jesus healed no one. We all like to think that great teachers and great people go around doing great things. And we watch movies and we watch read about books of thought and how the mind is so powerful, the mind is so wonderful, and how people can do things with the mind. Once you begin using more of the mind's capacity, you can do all sorts of powerful things in your world. You can think your thought and have things be demonstrated, be manifested, be revealed in the perfect way that they always were. But can that happen really? Can we really think our thought? Can we really use our mind to bring about whatever desire we have in our heart? Can we really do that? Now the answer, quite likely, is no. We cannot do that. And why can we not do that? Because we believe we cannot do that. Our world is the construct of all of the thoughts, all of the ideas, all of the beliefs, all of the conditions we have about ourselves and our mind. We believe we can do things and we go and do it. We believe we cannot do it and we have all the possibilities and all the talent to do it and we cannot do it. Fear, trepidation, feeling of insecurity, feeling of inadequacy, all of these things are thoughts. They're not attitudes, they're, as we call them, where they're not things that are separate, they're just thoughts. And when we have the thought of fear, that thought limits us. When we have the thought of competence and success, that thought uplifts us. And that thought gives us the power to do it. Well, now this is how the master teacher went around doing things for people. He said, "It is done unto you according to your belief. It's done unto you according to your thinking. It's done unto you according to what manner do you want." Now we live in a world where people believe certain things. We live in a world where people have attitudes that they've built up over the years, and these attitudes become what they like to call race consciousness, the attitude of all people. When you arrive at a certain age, you're able to walk. When you arrive at a certain age, you're able to talk. When you arrive at a certain age, you're able to do many things. And then when you arrive at other ages, then you are limited. You cannot do them any longer. You're too old. And all of these attitudes are thoughts. It's the mind. It's how our mind functions and how our mind works. And if we allow ourselves, as we add years to our life, to feel that we're older, that's the most stupid thing in the world we could do. If we allow ourselves, as we grow older, to be more competent, to be more responsible for our thoughts, be more responsible for what's going on in our mind, what's going on in our attitudes about ourselves, what conditions in the world called race consciousness, what conditions are we allowing ourselves to be guided by, to be manipulated by? Thoughts are truly things. We prove this to ourselves time and again. Thoughts are truly things, and as we think thoughts, these thoughts bring about the desires and the good we want. Now, the ability to think thoughts is not just something we do here in this century. It's been done from the beginning of time, from the beginning of man's thinking, from the beginning of man's being. And man has been a thinker and a beer and a doer for endless time. Now, why is it it's taking man so long to come to the realization that he has a brain in his head, and this brain has the capacity to do anything that the brain can conceive the mind is. Now, it's not the brain that does these things. The brain is the transmitter. The brain is the operator of what it is the mind is capable of doing. And now, the mind is universal. The mind is capable of everything. The mind is everything. And the brain is our vehicle through which we transmit, through which we translate, through which we take the information in the mind, the universal knowledge, the universal competency, and put it to work in our life. Now, we can put it to work in our life very simply, very wonderfully, by thinking our thoughts. Now, many people think that the master teacher healed people because people went to him who were sick, and he said, "Do you believe you can be healed?" And they said yes, and they were healed. Now, did many people come to the master teacher? Did many people come to the doctors today and say they cannot be healed? And the doctors use all of the medication they have, which normally would bring about a healing experience for a person. The master teacher had the ability to inspire people to say, "Yes, yes, I believe." And when they had that belief, then it was done unto them according to their belief. And so it is with the universal concepts, the universal mind, the universal thinking. It is available to us to use whenever we have the ability to turn our attention to it 100% and to bring it about in our world 100%. Now, do you want to do that? Do you want to bring it to your attention 100%? Do you want to apply the principle in your life right now? Do you want to do that? And, of course, the answer is no. No, we have become too cuddled in thinking that we must eat what we must eat and the pills we must take and all of the conditions we must have. And we don't need them at all. But we think we do. Now, there are many people who write science fiction stories about people who use their brain in a most remarkable fashion. And they don't have to write science fiction to write that. All we have is just to be aware of the science of today. The wonderful things that are being done today. We are using levitation to make things rise and fall. Well, now you say, when you fly an airplane, you're levitating that airplane. That's true. That airplane is going against gravity. It's using certain mechanical, scientific principles which allow it to do that, allow it to go contrary to the gravity that would hold it down. But it is doing it. Now, do you think, do I think, that the mind is as powerful, that it can do those things without having a device to do it? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And many people do these things, but they don't tell other people about it because the world doesn't seem to be ready to realize that these are reality. That the miracles are not really miracles, something beyond, but the miracles are reality that are taking place all about us. And you say, well, for goodness sakes, if you're going to teach miracles and you're going to do those sort of things, then you're saying these are things that are beyond. They are beyond, it is true, only as long as we think they are beyond. Only as long as we think they are things that we cannot apprehend, understand, apply every moment of our life. Now, our body is designed to be perfect all the way. Every cell of our body is designed to be perfect. Now, what is it that moves our body, moves our cells out of line with perfection. And what it is our thought. For if we were able to say, every moment, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, if we were to say that every single moment, have no contrary thought, every organ, action, function of my body is absolutely perfect right now. Yes, perfect. Ideal. Manifest to the max. If we could say that, if we could train ourselves in that, then we would have it. Now here at the University of Healing, we teach this. This is part of our curriculum. And we have students here at the University of Healing who apply it, but then they have little things that come up in their life, their testing period. A cook does not find it adverse for the cook to take a fork and stick it into a cake or a pie or a piece of meat that's cooking in the oven or a vegetable. And with that fork, tell whether the material is cooked or not. It is being tested. You test it. Now, you don't think that's so terrible. You don't think that's so outrageous. You just think that's a normal way of testing. And you test. Now, what other tests do we have? Do we have tests like illness? Do we have tests like unhappiness? Do we have tests like limitation? Do we have tests of any variety of natures? Yes, we do. And do we look at these tests and say, oh dear, it's so terrible, there's nothing that can be done? Yes, we do. Do we say at all times, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? Do we believe it? Do we understand it? Do we claim it? Do we name it? Do we experience it? Some do. Some don't. When you do, you are applying the principle. When you don't, you are applying the principle. The principle says if you believe, it's yours. If you don't believe, it's not yours. And what is belief? Is belief wishing for something and desiring something that really is not yours? Or is it merely the exercise of the principle, the law, and saying about the law that it is functioning or it is not functioning? If you go out and get in your car, and you have doubt that your car is going to work because you've had troubles with it, it won't work sometimes. And sometimes you say, wow, it worked. But it might not, it might stop, it might do. And you see all of that negative work works on your car just as much as it works on your body, just as much as it works on your life, just as much as it works on anything, because it is a thought. And these thoughts, the more we can keep ourselves pure and perfect, the more we can keep ourselves in our ideal frame of mind, the more wonderful everything is. And we don't have to go out and make things happen. We are those things that happened. They already have taken place in the infinite consciousness. They have already taken place in the infinite allness. And we merely reveal them according to our thought. Now let's repeat that phrase 1,000,000 times. We reveal them according to our thought. We reveal them according to our thought. Our life is revealed in our world according to our thought. Our life is revealed in our world according to our thought. Can you reveal all things in your world according to your thought? You do. Now, do you want to change your thought and experience the other side of the coin? Or do you want to just stay on one side? You and I have the privilege of revealing any side of the coin we wish. Abundance, love, joy, unconditional love, or its contrary. Whatever we want to put our attention on, that is where we will receive the benefit. Now, I can say this to the students of the University of Healing. I can see this being taught in schools around the world. I can see people totally untaught, unschooled, practicing these things because it's a universal principle that everyone knows already. You know it. You get more bees with honey than you do with salt. If you want to have anything in the world, you live in the consciousness of that anything and you enjoy it. When do you want to start having anything in your world? When do you want to start living in your world in a happy, desirable way? If you do, then you take the past and you allow it to be past. And you take the now and the present. And you live in the now and the present in the awareness that whatever is good and beautiful, whatever things are desirable, those are the things that you and I think about. That's where our heart dwells, that's where our thought dwells, that's where we dwell. And that's all that matters. And that's all that ever will matter, for we are the creator of our universe, our life, our body, our affairs. We are the creator of all. And let's create it good and very good right now. The word create could be said reveal, because the evil or the good are there always, and it's up to us to choose which one we are. Have a lovely day, and know that I choose to be in good and very good forever and ever and ever. I love you. I love you. I love you.